Welcome to The Debate. I'm Parker Smith.
And I'm Sidney Johnson.
Today, we're diving into a critical discussion, different perspectives on why the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the U.S. Department of Justice need to adopt Rapid7 to secure and accelerate speed to mission. Now, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the U.S. Department of Justice, they stand right at the very forefront of our nation's digital defense. So the core question before us today is pretty stark. Is there an undeniable need for these two vital departments to adopt Rapid7 solutions specifically to secure and, well, accelerate their mission? My position is clear. The escalating threat landscape coupled with really stringent federal mandates makes Rapid7's comprehensive and integrated platform not just beneficial, but I'd argue a strategic imperative.
And Sydney, my perspective here diverges somewhat. While the challenges facing DHS and DOJ are, look, undeniably profound, the idea of a universal need to adopt Rapid7 across such vast and diverse organizations, I mean, each with its own unique operational complexities and existing cybersecurity ecosystems, that warrants a much more nuanced discussion, I think. I believe this perceived necessity might overlook some critical practical and strategic considerations, suggesting that, you know, other robust approaches could also deliver the security outcomes these departments desperately need.
Let's be direct, though. DHS and DOJ are battling an onslaught. We're talking relentless, sophisticated attacks from nation-state actors, major transnational criminal organizations, and they're doing all of this while wrestling with chronic staffing shortages. The stakes just couldn't be higher. We see combined federal cybersecurity spending exceeding, what, $3 billion annually, and a federal civilian cybersecurity budget hitting $13 billion for FY 2025. That tells you the demand for sophisticated solutions is, well, unprecedented. This demand is further amplified by critical federal mandates like Executive Order 14028, which focuses on supply chain security and zero trust principles, or CISA's Binding Operational Directive 22-01, specifically targeting those known exploited vulnerabilities that attackers are already using. Then there's the broader Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation, or CDM program, and the overarching federal zero trust strategy. These aren't just policies on paper. They're urgent, real-world directives. Rapid7's InsightGov cloud platform, having achieved FedRAMP moderate authorization back in July 2025, directly aligns its capabilities, from vulnerability management with InsightVM, to threat detection and response with InsightIDR, automation with InsightConnect, and cloud security with InsightCloudSec to meet these exact urgent requirements. This unified approach, I believe, offers unparalleled efficiency and demonstrably accelerates compliance and risk reduction, making its adoption a strategic imperative for these critical departments.
Parker, I certainly share your concern about the intense threat landscape and those, yes, non-negotiable federal mandates. However, I want to explore whether framing Rapid7 as an outright need for two such immense and frankly varied organizations truly considers the practical realities on the ground. I mean, these departments encompass incredibly diverse IT environments, right? Each with unique missions, often deeply entrenched legacy systems, and very long-standing vendor relationships. You know, the federal government's policy itself is evolving, which we saw with Executive Order 14306 in June 2025. That order specifically scaled back what it called burdensome software accounting processes that prioritized compliance checklists over genuine security investments. This clearly signals a shift towards genuinely proving you're safer rather than simply ticking a box because you've deployed a particular piece of tech. Now, while Rapid7's unified platform certainly offers advantages, agencies may really question a complete overhaul of their existing, often substantial investments, and those persistent staffing shortages you mentioned, well, they're not solely a technology problem. They require broader strategic solutions that may not necessitate a single platform adoption, especially when, you know, established players like CrowdStrike, Splunk, and Tenable already have a significant federal presence.
Sydney, I hear your point about existing investments, but I would argue that the unified nature of Rapid7's Insight platform is its primary strength and precisely what DHS and DOJ need to cut through that complexity you described. With a command platform API and cross-product data sharing, it doesn't just reduce the number of vendors, it fundamentally eliminates the complexity of managing disparate security tools. This gives comprehensive coverage across endpoints, networks, applications, and those crucial cloud environments without the gaps you typically get from, well, a patchwork approach. And crucially, it's FedRAMP moderate authorization covering Insight VM, Insight CloudSec, and Insight Connect means immediate deployment capability. That's not just some technical detail. It's a huge advantage for agencies with constrained budgets and those persistent staffing shortages we keep talking about. Think about what that automation means on the ground. For those analysts at DHS, you know, drowning in alerts every single day, Insight Connect is like giving them an extra dozen pairs of hands. It takes the rote, repetitive tasks off their plate so they can actually focus on the truly critical human-driven threat hunting. That's a game changer, I'd say, not just a feature. This is crucial for DHS components like CBP, which faces a mind-boggling 100 million network cyber attempts daily, and FEMA, dealing with critical infrastructure resilience. They need this force multiplier.
Well, Parker, I agree that the sheer volume of attacks CBP faces, like those 100 million attempts daily, is, well, it's staggering. And automation sounds like the perfect answer, especially for overwhelmed teams. But are we truly being realistic about how a force multiplier like Insight Connect integrates into CBP's existing highly specialized and often legacy systems? You mentioned Splunk and ServiceNow in the source material. Are you suggesting that a full rip and replace for automation is truly simpler than optimizing their current deeply embedded tools, especially when we're talking about complex operational technology, OT, and industrial control systems, ICS environments that federal departments often manage?
Well,
federal departments operate some of the largest and most intricate IT landscapes in the world, right? A hybrid complexity that spans legacy on-premise data centers to modern multi-cloud deployments. A unified platform sounds ideal. Yes, I grant you that. But integrating a new sweeping platform across such disparate environments can introduce its own significant challenges, delays, and frankly, organizational resistance. That shift you mentioned from compliance checklists to genuine security outcomes might actually mean agencies can achieve robust security by optimizing their existing diverse tool sets or focusing on targeted modular improvements rather than a full, potentially disruptive rip and replace strategy. Consolidating vendors isn't always simpler, particularly with deeply embedded systems and highly specialized operational needs.
But Sydney, those initial integration challenges you raised are precisely what the FedRAMP authorization and that immediate deployment capability aim to mitigate. Are you suggesting that managing, say, 20 different point solutions, each with its own dashboards and data silos, is less challenging over the long term for an understaffed team than a single integrated platform designed for that very purpose? The clear alignment of Rapid7's products with federal mandates isn't just some marketing claim. It's undeniable and critical for these agencies. Insight VM directly supports CISA BOD 2201 by not just identifying, but actively helping to remediate known exploited vulnerabilities within those prescribed non-negotiable timeframes. Insight IDR directly meets the EO 14020 mandate for enhanced endpoint detection and response, which is absolutely crucial for defending against nation-state actors who are constantly probing for weaknesses. And Insight CloudSec, that addresses the complex cloud security requirements for federal Zero Trust implementation, particularly in environments like AWS GovCloud and Azure Government. These aren't just recommendations. They are strict, time-sensitive requirements where Rapid7 provides direct, measurable solutions. This is particularly highlighted for high-priority components like CISA CDM program, which is a massive $469.8 million opportunity for FY 2025, by the way. And for critical units like the FBI Cyber Division for incident response and threat hunting, the need isn't just to have tools. It's about operationalizing these directives effectively and at scale, rapidly reducing risk and demonstrating compliance to Congress and, well, the American public.
Parker, I'm still not entirely convinced by that line of reasoning, because while Rapid7 does align with mandates, The key, I think, is the outcome of compliance, not necessarily the exclusive adoption of one vendor solution. Let's just revisit Executive Order 14306 again. It specifically moved away from prescriptive requirements that were deemed unproven and burdensome software accounting processes that prioritize compliance checklists over genuine security investments. That suggests a significant degree of flexibility, prioritizing effective security over, perhaps, vendor lock-in. An agency could, for example, achieve CISA BOD 2201 compliance through robust patching processes enabled by other vulnerability management tools they already use and know well, or even via enhanced internal scripts and open source intelligence. The U.S. Marshals Service's post-breach modernization, I mean, that absolutely created urgency after their 2023 ransomware incident. Yes, it highlights a need for improved security, absolutely, but not necessarily that Rapid7 is the only or mandated path forward. They could explore various solutions to reconstitute their system. And for the FBI's cyber action teams, while they certainly need advanced tools, their existing expertise and frameworks might be built around different platforms. A full shift for such an elite and grand team could be a significant hurdle, not a clear need for one specific vendor, especially if their current tools are delivering on those crucial outcomes. How do you account for the loss of institutional knowledge and expertise with existing platforms during such a massive transition? That seems like a real cost.
Signe, while I acknowledge the shift towards outcomes, doesn't that executive order implicitly demand sophisticated tools capable of demonstrating those outcomes effectively? I mean, if an agency is struggling with fragmented tools, how do they objectively prove they've moved beyond a checklist without a unified platform that provides that measurable visibility? That leads me directly to Rapid7's strategic federal advantages, which are, I think, incredibly compelling. Its FedRAMP moderate authorization, achieved in July 2025, offers immediate deployment for key components like InsightVM, InsightCloudSec, and InsightConnect. This is huge. It means agencies don't have to wait years for a complex authorization process. Add to that its presence on the DHS CDM-approved products list, which further streamlines procurement and provides a clear, trusted path for agencies. And by partnering with Carahsoft Technology Corporation, which holds a staggering 72.1% market share in federal distribution, Rapid7's accessibility is, well, unparalleled. The operational efficiencies gained from a unified platform, reducing reliance on multiple point solutions, translate into very real, measurable cost savings and a better return on investment, particularly given that the average federal data breach costs, what was it, $4.88 million? This isn't just about tactical deployment. It's a long-term strategic investment that ensures better protection for critical infrastructure and mission-critical operations, providing quantifiable threat mitigation, significant time and cost savings, and indisputable regulatory fulfillment.
Parker, while FedRAMP authorization and APL listing are indeed significant advantages that definitely reduce procurement friction, they don't automatically create a need for adoption across two entire massive departments. You mentioned cost advantages, but look, we have to weigh that against the very real sunk costs these agencies already have in their existing infrastructure, the specialized training for legacy systems, and the established contracts with other vendors. Federal procurement cycles are notoriously long, typically 12 to 18 months, even with streamlined access like FedRAMP or APL. A full adoption across vast departments takes not just time, but significant resource reallocation and, let's face it, disruption. The competitive landscape still includes very well-entrenched players like CrowdStrike, Splunk, Tenable, all vying for federal dollars and already deeply integrated in many agencies.
The industry consolidation trend, like Cisco's massive $28 billion acquisition of Splunk, is cited as an opportunity for Rapid7. Sure, but it also reflects the dynamism of the market, where new or existing solutions might emerge as equally viable or even preferred alternatives for different components within DHS or DOJ. The need might unequivocally be for better security outcomes. I agree there. But the method to achieve that, including through healthy competition and diverse vendor strategies, remains open, I think. Agencies might in fact prioritize platforms that offer flexibility and seamless integration with their existing tools over a single vendor suite, especially when faced with that mandate to move beyond a simple compliance mindset and to truly optimize their unique environments.
Okay, to summarize my position, the overwhelming pressure from advanced nation-state threats, coupled with non-negotiable federal mandates like EO 14028 and CISA BOT 22-01, demands a modern integrated cybersecurity solution. Rapid7's FedRAMP authorized insight platform provides the comprehensive capabilities in vulnerability management, threat detection, and automation that I argue DHS and DOJ critically need. Its ability to simplify compliance, enhance operational efficiency through solutions like Insight Connect, and accelerate threat response makes it an indispensable partner in securing America's most vital digital assets and mission objectives. This unified platform isn't just about consolidating tools. It's a fundamental shift in how federal agencies can achieve true security. By integrating vulnerability management, threat detection, and automation, you move from a reactive firefighting mode with siloed data to a proactive risk management with a holistic view. The timing, I believe, is optimal for Rapid7's federal expansion, offering a clear path to measurable security improvements.
And my perspective remains that while Rapid7 is undoubtedly a strong contender with valuable capabilities, framing its adoption as an outright need for both DHS and DOJ broadly might be, well, too definitive. Agencies need to prioritize genuine security outcomes over mere checklist compliance, and their varied operational realities, existing investments, and the continuous evolution of both the threat landscape and government policy mean that a singular, sweeping adoption may not be the optimal, or indeed the only path. The debate, as I see it, is less about Rapid7's inherent capabilities, which are clearly strong, and more about the strategic autonomy and the diverse needs of federal agencies as they work to build resilient cybersecurity postures.
The insights from this discussion, I hope, highlight the profound complexity inherent in making such large-scale technology decisions within the federal government, leaving listeners to consider the multifaceted nature of securing our nation's digital infrastructure.